All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Look, if you would, starting at verse 9. Second Chronicles 26, starting at verse 9. It says, "Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Also he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account, by the hand of Jeiel, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast the stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests of the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. And Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings, for they said, he is a leper, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. Now, Nathaniel Hawthorne once said, a grave wherever it is found preaches a short sermon to the soul. Epitaphs, at times, although but a few lines, tells a lot about the person that's buried. For example, a certain Scottish man's grave marker reads this way: "Here lies the man Richard and Mary his wife, whose name was Pritchard. They lived without strife, and the reason was plain. They abound in riches, they had no care nor pain, and his wife were the breeches." That was actually written there on a grave marker. Another one in England, at the Painswick churchyard, says, "My wife lies dead, and here she lies. Nobody laughs, nobody cries. Where she is gone and how she fares, nobody knows and nobody cares." That's a pretty outrageous. And then there's one here from Chelmsford, England, says, "Here, snug in her grave, my wife doth lie. Now she's at rest, so am I." And so, but you could tell a lot about, you know, people by some of the things that are written. And no doubt, a grave wherever it is found kind of preaches a short sermon. I mean, whenever we read gravestones today, you'll see, you know, a loving wife and a loving husband or whatever. But, you know, the grave of Uzziah was no different. We read there in 2 Chronicles 26:23, it says, "So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with the fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings. For they said, he is a leper, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead." I mean, what a last thing to be said about somebody. I mean, here was a guy who was a king of Israel, And the thing that was said about him when he died was he was a leper. Boy, what a waste. Amen? I mean, you think about that. And so we're told here the story of a king with a heart condition that brought on his destruction. You'll notice that in verse 16, it says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Now, we've been studying various heart conditions that people have, and certainly the heart conditions that some of us may have from time to time. And studying these things in the Bible, we first saw the hard heart of Pharaoh. We saw how his heart was hardened, how he was hardened against the will of the Lord. And no doubt there are a lot of people today that have a hard heart. There are people today who are not saved, who refuse to be saved. That is a person with a hard heart. There are Christians today that have gotten a hard heart. Amen? I mean, something may have happened in life, or didn't go the way they wanted it to go, or God didn't answer a prayer the way that the way they wanted God to answer prayer, and now they've got a hard heart towards God. So certainly that's one of the problems that many people face. We also looked last week at the turned heart of Solomon. We saw how Solomon, he started off serving the Lord, but then when he didn't do what the Lord told him to do when it comes to marriage and having wives and who he was supposed to marry and who he wasn't supposed to marry, and when he did those things, he basically took, rather than heeding the warning from God that these people would turn his heart, he went on and did it his way anyway, and just like God said, those women turned his heart. His heart was turned from serving the Lord to where he was no longer serving the Lord. His heart was turned where he was faithful to the Lord to where he was no longer faithful to the Lord. So we saw the turned heart of Solomon. And certainly we all know Christians today who once served the Lord, but something happened in their life and now they're no longer serving the Lord at all. Something turned their heart from the Lord. By the way, I just want to tell you this. If you ever get to the point where your heart is turned from the Lord, you can always turn back. Amen? You can always turn back to the Lord. You know, the Lord is always there just waiting for his children to turn back to him. And we see that over and over and over in Scripture. Now, this morning, I want you to look at the prideful heart of Uzziah. Now, I'll tell you this, of the different heart conditions that we're studying, I think that the prideful heart is probably something that we all struggle with more so than just about anything else. Because it seems like pride is the root of all sin. It seems that pride is the thing. I mean, if you think about it, it was pride that took Lucifer down. And it's pride that takes many a person down. And pride is talked about a lot in the Bible and warned about a lot in the Bible. And certainly pride got to Uzziah here. And so when we read account of this, in order to see how this pride came into the heart of Uzziah, we need to first see exactly how things went from the beginning how he went from where he was, how he got to where he was, and then how pride got into his heart. So that way, when we see how it happened to him, we could beware too, because the same thing will happen to us if we're not careful. And so the first thing I want you to notice is the position to which he was brought into. There in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, look back, if you would, all the way back to verse 1. And it says, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. So this boy was only 16 years old when he was named king. But even at that age, his life was marked by certain qualities that were very impressive. It was these qualities that brought him into a unique position in life to where he would be king. The first of these are his natural qualities. They were impressive. If you look back in chapter 25, we're not going to go there, but chapter 25 closes with the tragic murder of his father Amaziah, and then chapter 26 begins with the people choosing him to be king at the age of 16. Now, we do not know that Uzziah was the oldest. They didn't always take the one who was the oldest and make him king. When you read through the kings of Israel and you read through the kings of Judah, you'll notice that some people were taken when they were not the oldest, or they were the next one down or whatever. And so we're not told that, but apparently the people recognized him to have certain qualities that a young king should have, because he was the choice to be the 11th king of Israel. And even as a young man, He showed exceptional skills and abilities and maturity. The people saw him that in spite of his age, he was an enterprising young man who could lead the kingdom. They're not going to just call anybody, okay, to lead the kingdom. They're going to choose the person that's certainly able to do so. And so if you continue to read there in chapter 26, you'll notice that the observations that these people were true and their choice was wise. Things went really well for Israel from the time he became king on through most of his reign. In fact, we read in verse 3 that he reigned 52 years. Okay, so you figure at the time he was 16 years old, by the time he died, his reign was over, he was 68. It's a long time to be reigning. Amen. And so he reigned for 52 years, and during this 52 years, his leadership was exceptional, making him one of the greatest kings during that time. Outside of King David and King Solomon, you won't read of Israel being more successful during a time than what they were during the time of Uzziah. Things were going very well for them. And so he was a man that was marked with exceptional natural qualities, even starting at the age of 16. But not only was his natural qualities exceptional, his spiritual qualities were also exceptional. Look there in 2 Chronicles 26, starting at verse 4. It says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, whenever you read that, that's usually a pretty good thing. Amen? That right there should teach us that's what we should be doing every day, that which is right in the sight of the Lord. It says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all his father Amaziah did, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah. And so as king, he was a man who served God, who sought after God. He did that which was right in the sight of God. And boy, what a good testimony that is. To have that written about you that you did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and you sought after the Lord, you know, that ought to be said about us. Amen? That we sought after the Lord and we did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I personally think that'd be a great thing to have on my headstone. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He sought after the Lord. That'd be a good thing. But when we read here, and certainly he was a person who served God, who sought after God, and he was a young man when he did it, 16. Now, I personally get a great blessing out of that when I read that there's a 16-year-old boy right there that's doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord and seeking after God. You know, I would pray that all of our teenagers would be like that. Amen? By the way, we need to pray for our young people, that they would seek after the Lord, they would do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. That's what he did, starting at the time he was 16 years old. And so when you continue to read about that, you can see that he was a man who possessed spiritual qualities. Look, if you would, starting at verse 3 and 4. And you say, how did he get these spiritual qualities to begin with? Well, in verse 3, it says his mother's name was also Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all his father Amaziah did. Now, when you read about Amaziah, Amaziah was a good king. Amaziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord too. And notice that his son here, starting at the age of 16, he did the same thing. Now, listen, folks, don't get me wrong here. I'm not going to tell you that if you're a godly parent, that your kids are always going to turn out always right, because that doesn't always happen. But they sure have an advantage. Amen? I mean, for parents that are godly parents, and parents that bring their children to church, and parents that make much about the Lord, and parents that help teach the kids about the Bible, those kids, you know, we pray that they get saved. We pray that they seek the Lord. We pray that they do that which is right in the sight of the Lord when they get out on their own. But there's no guarantees, because all of us have to make our own choices. Amen? But I'll tell you this, if you keep them in church and you show them the Lord and you teach them about the Lord, you're giving them a great advantage, because they can see the truth as they're growing up. They can see the truth of the Scripture. And you say, well, you mean to tell me that he turned out to be an amazing spiritual young boy here because his dad was? Not necessarily, but I am saying he had the advantage. Amen? I mean, because his father was a godly man. His father feared God. And so all of a sudden his son looks in there and goes, hey, my dad did it. Maybe I'm going to do it too. Maybe that's what it was. But I will tell you this, he certainly had the advantage. And that's the reason why I tell people, get your kids in church. Get your grandkids in church. Give them the advantage. That doesn't guarantee they're going to get saved. Doesn't guarantee that they're going to live a life right. But it gives them something that at least, I tell you this, at least they know where the truth is at. And they know exactly how to get saved, even from a young age. There are a lot of kids today, right here in this town, they have no idea how to be saved whatsoever. And so it's a good thing to be a godly parent, a godly grandparent. So we see here that Uzziah, he was a fine person when it comes to natural abilities and spiritual abilities. Also, I want you to see the prosperity that he was given. Now, that's how he got there. I mean, he got there because, you know, he got the position he was in because of his natural abilities and because of his spiritual abilities. You know, he sought after the Lord. But then, after he started seeking after the Lord, he was given a lot of prosperity. Look at verse 5. It says, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. You know, as a nation, Israel advanced and experienced a lot of growth under Uzziah's rule. As a person, Uzziah prospered and achieved much as a king himself. You say, well, why? Because God prospered him. It wasn't anything he did. God's the one that prospered him. And the scriptures are very clear to say God made him to prosper. I mean, we all see that, right? It was God who made him to prosper. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made all that he had to prosper. You know what? In fact, turn over to Psalm chapter 1. And we're going to come back here in a minute to continue to look at Uzziah. But in Psalm chapter 1, it tells us this. Now, again, I don't want you to get the wrong idea and think I'm teaching some prosperity gospel, because I'm just going to tell you right now, you could be prospered in so many different ways, more so than material ways. Amen? I mean, all of us can be prospered, but it doesn't have to be in money. It doesn't have to be in riches, but we all can be prospered. Now, here in Psalm chapter 1, look if you would, starting at verse 1. It says, blessed is the man. How many of you like God's blessings?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, God's blessings are just wonderful. All right, it says, you say, well, how can I get blessed? All right, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now I want you to notice there that it tells you, if you want to be blessed, that is the Lord prospering you. I mean, you can be blessed in many ways. Me personally, one of the greatest blessings that I could get today is when I could lead somebody to the Lord. Amen? You say, well, how can I get that blessing? Go out and tell somebody about the Lord. Amen? And so it says here, if you want to be blessed, if you want to be prospered, it says, number one, you've got to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, not stand in the way of sinners, not sit in the seat of the scornful, but delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth meditate day and night. And then it says, you'll be like a tree planted by the waters. May I tell you something, folks? If you want to be blessed, if you want to be prospered, seek after the Lord, do that which is right, and do what God wants you to do in life, and God will bless you for that. Amen? Now, on the other hand of that, if you say, well, you know, I'm not going to live for the Lord. I'm not going to be faithful to the Lord. I'm not going to read the Bible. I'm not going to do what the Bible says. Then don't expect the blessings. They're not going to come. Now, it says here that he'll prosper whoever does that. And so God promises that he will bless us if we serve him and seek him. And Uzziah was certainly a great example of that. He was a person who sought after the Lord. He was a person who did that which is right in the sight of God. And he served God and he sought God. And because of that, God made him to prosper. You say, how did Uzziah prosper? We'll turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And I want you to notice that first of all, according to verse 2, he prospered commercially. Notice in verse 2 it says, he built Eloth and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his fathers, which basically means he cleared the way to the Gulf of Aqaba and he reestablished and reopened the seaport of Eloth. Okay, and this renewed Israel's navigation to the Red Sea and commerce and things like that that they had lost. So he prospered commercially. He also prospered militarily. And look at verse 6. Now remember, all these things happened after he became king and after God prospered him. In verse 6 it says that he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbaal and Mehunims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. He was given victory after victory after victory. Stop right there. Remember, it says it was God that prospered him, right? Who was it that gave him the victory? God was. How do you know that? Look at verse 7. And God helped him against the Philistines. Without God's help, he wouldn't have won. So God is the one that's still prospering him by giving him military victories. So under Uzziah's rule, Israel was a much stronger military. It even made it so Israel would be able to withstand attack. Verse 9 says, moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Drop down to verse 11. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jeriel the scribe and Messiah the ruler under the hand of Hananiah and one of the king's captains. And the whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 7,500 that made war and mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And then in verse 14 we read Uzziah adequately equipped his army for battle. Notice here it's talking about the catapults that they had and those machines that would fire multiple arrows. Look at verse 15. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped. Who was it that helped him? God. Everything he had, God gave him. God prospered him. His military, God gave him. His victories, God gave him. Everything that he has, God gave him. He was helped till he was strong. No doubt Israel would reach a military height under the king of Uzziah, probably one of the most powerful militaries that Israel ever had since King David. Uzziah prospered in so many ways while he was king, and Israel prospered because Uzziah prospered. But that you say, well, what was the source? It was God. God was the source. Notice in verse 7 it says, and God helped him. Verse 15, for he was marvelously helped. All this success was due to the fact that God marvelously helped him and prospered him and blessed him. Why? Because Uzziah sought after the Lord. Uzziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And according to Psalm chapter 1, God prospered him because of that. God blessed him because of that. All of his success was because the Lord had blessed him and helped him marvelously. And may I remind you this morning that if you have any success in this life, in fact, if you have anything in this life, you know who it was that gave it to you? It was the Lord. It was the Lord who gave it to you. In fact, Joshua 1:7 says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. 1 Kings 2:3 says, and keep the charge of God, the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. You say, Pastor, that's just a bunch of Old Testament stuff. Well, I understand that you can't be saved by keeping the law. I understand that. You're saved today because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're saved through faith. Amen? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. That's how we're saved. But I will tell you this, when that Bible says certain things are a sin, that you are not to do it, you're not going to be blessed by God if you decide to do what that Bible tells you not to do. You're not going to be blessed that way. But if you decide, I'm going to live according to what the Bible tells me to do, and if God says a sin, I'm not going to do it. If God says I am supposed to do it, then I'm going to do it. Now, we're going to have that struggle from time to time. The Apostle Paul had that struggle. But what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to be reading our Bible and doing what our Bible says. And if we do that, God will bless us. If we don't do that, then God's not going to bless us. Again, you've heard me say it many times, but God does not bless disobedience. He doesn't. He blesses obedience. In fact, all the way through the Scriptures, you'll see where God requires obedience. Amen? And so, here he is. He's got many things. He's got many material things. He's got a great army. He's got all these different He's got victory in battle. He's got all these things. So we see the position that Uzziah had. We saw the prosperity that he had. But then comes the sad part of the story. Things were going so good for Uzziah. Things were going so good for Israel. They had an army that was, to tell you the truth, at the time, they were unbeatable. You say, well, how do you get that? Because God was helping them. Nobody's going to beat that army as long as God's helping them. So they had an unbeatable army. They had a huge military. He had all these different, he had been prospered in so many ways. But then pride entered into the heart of Uzziah. A young man with so much potential and so much help from God, a young man who had one time served the Lord and was blessed greatly for doing so. One day he looked around at all he had been blessed with, and he saw how strong Israel had become under his leadership, and pride came into his heart. Look, if you would, at verse 16. It says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord, his God, and went into the temple to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Now, notice here it says his heart was lifted up. You know what that means? That means it was he had a haughty. It was he had a prideful heart. It was lifted up. So much so that now remember, he's king. He's king over all Israel. And everything he had, he was prospered with God. Everything he had. But he had started to look around and started to think of himself more highly than he ought to think of himself. You see, he started thinking, I'm the big cheese. I can do anything I want to do. So he marches into the temple, and he goes in the holiest place, and he offers incense to the Lord. Now stop right there. Who was it? There were only certain people that could do this. Okay? Number one, in order to even work inside the temple to do anything, you had to be of the tribe of Levi, which he wasn't. Number two, that if you once you entered in into the holiest place to offer incense, not only did you have to be from the tribe of Levi, but you had to be from the descendants of Aaron. You had to be one of those. In other words, you've got to be a descendant of Aaron, a high priest. He was not a high priest. He was not a descendant of Aaron. He had no business in error offering incense to the Lord. He was not supposed to be in error. Why? God had already set the law saying that only the descendants of Aaron would be the high priest. Or only he would offer be able to offer the incense. But here, Uzziah, he's thinking, I'm king. I'm the big cheese. I can do anything I want to do because after all, I'm Uzziah. And he walks in there and he offers incense. He offers incense upon the altar there. Why? Because he was prideful. You know, it seemed like Uzziah did all right until he got strong. Until he received all these blessings that the Lord had given him. But once he got strong, he became obsessed with his own greatness and his own success. And when you look into God's word, you see how God feels about pride. Psalm chapter 12, verse 3 says, the Lord shall cut off all flattering words or flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Proverbs 15:25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. A proudful heart, an abomination. This past Sunday, or I think it was either Sunday night or Wednesday night, we looked at the seven things that God hates, and it said that those things are an abomination to him. A proud heart's one of them. Amen. All right, Jeremiah 13:15 says, hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Uzziah forgot that it was the Lord who made him what he was and blessed him. When the Lord's blessing should have brought praises from Uzziah. I mean, he should have been praising the Lord before everybody and telling everybody, everything I have is from the Lord. Bless him, not me. That's not what he did. He lifted himself up rather than the Lord. And I tell you this, sometimes we forget that we wouldn't be where we are if it weren't not for the Lord. We forget that the things that we have, the only reason we have them is because the Lord has allowed us to have them. And if we've been a blessing to others, it's because we've been blessed by God. And instead of strutting around, we ought to be shouting praises to God for everything that we have. But I also tell you this, you know, we all have, some of us have more than others. But if God has blessed you with more things, remember there's more required of you as well. Because everything the Lord has given you is to be used for His glory. Amen? And so that's the way we need to think about ourselves. Rather than lifting ourselves up high, like Uzziah did, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord and understand that everything we have came from the Lord and use what we have for the Lord's glory. And that's how you get blessed by God, is by doing that. Now, Uzziah had pride in his heart. And we read in Psalm 10:4, it says, "The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts." And that's exactly what happened to Uzziah. When his heart was lifted up with pride, instead of seeking after God, he sinned against God, and God was not in his thoughts. Look at verse 16. "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he had transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests," that's 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men, "and they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests of the sons of Aaron that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord, be for thine honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah was wroth. Now here's another thing we learned from this. Here's a man who's lifted up in pride. He goes in there and he burns incense unto the Lord. Now, you remember when Nathan the prophet came to David after David sinned, and he told him the story, and David got all mad, and Nathan pointed his finger at him and says, "Thou art the man." What did David do? Immediately he humbled himself. He immediately humbled himself and said, "I have sinned against God." He got right. Now, he had to pay the consequences for what he did, but he got right. Amen? Notice the difference. Here Uzziah comes in there, he burns incense. 80 priests walk in there and say, whoa, what are you doing here? What are you doing? You know what God said. God said only the sons of Aaron could do it, and sorry, pal, you ain't it. And rather than saying, "Oh, I've sinned against God. I shouldn't have done that. Lord, forgive me." Is that what he did? No, he got wroth. He got mad. He got mad at the messenger. How many people I've heard get mad at preachers? Because the preachers preach them the truth, and they say, "I don't have to listen to that sort of stuff. Preacher comes in there all the time, says things like that. He must be preaching to me." And people get mad. I'm just going to encourage you this morning. Listen, folks, when the Bible's preached to you, whether it's me or somebody else, when the Bible is preached to you, and all of a sudden you feel like your toes have been stepped on, don't get mad, get right. Amen? I mean, that's what David did. When Nathan says, "Thou art the man," he didn't say, "Well, how dare you call me the man? How dare you say such a thing to me?" No, immediately he got right with God and said, "I have sinned against God, and I'm going to try to make this thing right." The best thing you could do, listen, whenever the truth is preached to you, is just get right. Don't get mad at the preacher. Amen? There's lots of things I'm going to make you mad over, but I'm going to try not to do it when it comes to the scriptures. But if it happens, hey, listen, it's not me that's telling you that you're wrong. It's God pointing a finger at you, not me. And so here Uzziah, he gets wroth. He gets wroth and he's in the wrong. And he knows he's in the wrong. He would have known what the law said. I mean, he did that which was right in the eyes of God. He would have known what the law said about who was supposed to offer the sacrifices. He had been king for 52 years. How many sacrifices do you think they offered in 52 years? At least once every year they had the sacrifice for sin in the holiest of holies. So that's at least 52 times that they had offered while he was king. It's not like he was walking around not knowing the law of God. He did know the law of God. But he thought of himself so highly that he says, "I don't care what God says. I'm going to go in here and offer incense anyway, because after all, I'm Uzziah the king." You know, you read over in 1 John, it says that all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Now, we know that the Bible says that's all in the world, that's all there is in the world. I mean, you look around, that's what's there. But a lot of times, when it comes to those things, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, a lot of times those different things are more prevalent in people at certain ages. For example, the lust of the flesh is usually to people of younger age. they struggle with those things more so than people of older age. When it comes to the lust of the eyes, that's usually, you know, listen, when you're so poor, it isn't like you're going to buy much. Amen. I remember when me and my wife first got married, we had like this little tiny table. It's kind of an outdoor table and a little tiny plastic chairs that you would use outside. That was our dining room table. And we had this little, it was a pathetic thing. It was a little rollaway shelf, and that's where we had our TV on. And so when we got ready to go to bed, we'd take that TV and squeak, 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 squeak inside of our room, watch it. And then the next morning we go squeak, 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 and move it out in the living room. You know, that's just the way it was, you know? And so it isn't like all of a sudden if I wanted a brand new Corvette that I could even thought about it back in those days. Amen? But I tell you this, once a person starts getting, you know, middle-aged, and they start getting, you know, a little bit more established, and they start to say, hey, I'd like to have that Corvette, or hey, I'd like to have that big truck. And sometimes we do that. That's where the lust of the eyes come in, more the middle age. But then the pride of life starts to come in when we're starting to get older, when we've been established for a long time, when our kids have already grown and moved out, and all of a sudden we look back and say, look at all I've gotten. Worked hard all my life for everything I've gotten. Yes, sirree. My kids turned out good. Look at the big house I've got. All those things. And we start to look around. That's the pride of life. That's the pride of life. That's what Uzziah. Notice he is 68 years old, folks. When all of a sudden he starts looking around and saying, boy, I'm something. I don't need those priests to offer sacrifice. I could do that myself. I watched them 100 times, and after all, I'm the king. He goes in there and he offers the sacrifice. The pride of life. He started to look around. You know what he did? He did what a lot of people do today. When we start to look around and start to look at the things that we've gotten over the years, pride gets in there, and we forget that everything you've gotten, I don't care how old you are, I don't care how hard you worked in your life, nothing you have, everything that you have, God gave it to you. And if it wasn't God who gave it to you, you would not have it today. Amen? Listen, rather than having the pride of life and looking around and saying all these things I've acquired over the years, and boy, haven't I done a great thing. I worked hard for everything I have, and I'm so happy I have all this stuff. Why don't you just praise God and say, you know what, Lord, thank you so much for allowing me to have it. Let me use it for your glory. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Because you realize God could take it away from you that quick. That quick. Do you realize that if all of a sudden our dollar bombs out, everything you have is not going to be worth much? Your bank account's gone. You let electricity be taken away in this country. You know what? Everything you have is going to be taken from you by somebody else. Even right down to your water that you have. The water bottles. It'll become a premium thing. I mean, we've all read the scenario of what happens and some catastrophic happens. God could take it from you in a heartbeat. Not only that, but if you read there in the New Testament about the guy who says, I'm going to build my barns and make them bigger for everything that I have. And God says, this night thy soul be required from thee. That quick, everything that you have could be taken. Rather than us lifting up ourselves in pride and thinking that we're something because of everything we've gotten in life, understand it's the Lord who give it to you. And we all need to humble ourselves before God. And so that's what Uzziah did here. I mean, when things were going great, Israel was strong, he was being prospered. All of it was happening because he was serving the Lord. All of it was happening because he was doing what he was supposed to be doing, and he was seeking after God. But pride was found in him. Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. When we look at the story of Uzziah, we see that God brought him down low. Here he is, he's proud, he goes in there and he offers incense. The priests come in there, the 80 priests tell him, hey, listen, you messed up, you ought not do this. And rather than getting right, he gets mad. And so what did God do to him? Look at 19, verse 19. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, while he was mad at the messengers, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. God struck him with leprosy. And as a leper, Uzziah couldn't enjoy the prosperous public life that he had once had in the past. He had been cut off from all society, and now he's living in an isolated place. And he went from being the ruler of Israel with all that God had prospered him to walking around in the shadows saying, unclean, unclean, unclean. You talking about from riches to rags story. You say, how did it happen? Pride. Pride. Pride will take you down, folks. You don't think it'll take you down? It took Lucifer down. It took Uzziah down. Everybody in that Bible that had pride, pride took them down. You say, how can I avoid having this pride come up? We all fight it. We all have an issue with it. I mean, the first time somebody compliments you, you know what your first knee-jerk reaction is? To have pride. Somebody says, oh, you did a good job. You're like, yeah. Rather than doing that, want to say, you know what? God be the glory. God be the glory. It'll take you down, folks. You say, how can I avoid it? Stay humble before the Lord. Stay humble before the Lord. And stay thankful too, by the way. You get up in the morning, first thing you should say is, Lord, thank you for another breath. Thank you for letting me open my eyes today. When you get in your car, you say, Lord, thank you for this car. When it don't start, say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Because I know if it had started, I went down the street, probably would have gotten killed. Amen? God's got a reason for everything. And we ought to be thankful for everything. And everything that you have, God gave it to you. And don't ever forget that. And that'll sure help you with your pride. All right, let's go ahead and close.